Hello everyone and welcome to the last part of Nima Parvini versus Right Wing Ideas. I would say for this episode, idea is probably giving it too much credit, because what I've got under focus today is low IQ bigotry. And I should probably kind of define my terms here, because low IQ bigotry is the inability to separate group measures in the aggregate from the individual case. Now, leftists have the opposite problem. Okay, leftists often, I have that meme. Remember I had the, I made the joke on Twitter before, the average height of women is 5'4". And then the woman comes in and says, I'm 5'8" though. And I just said, this is all conversations with women. That from me went all around the internet. If you are a feminist or something watching this, I was only joking. But it is a tendency that a lot of women cannot kind of put them, they can't see the thing in the aggregate, deal with the average as opposed to the specific case. And in my experience online, lots of leftists, men and women, have this issue where they struggle to see the aggregate stats or the group effect, okay, because they're too focused on one specific individual they know. Okay, so if you want to cite, for example, crime statistics, the objection will be something like, well, what about great economist Thomas Sowell or something like this? What about this one exemplary case? Okay, and this is, I also think, kind of a low IQ thing, that they're not able to do this. Now, low IQ bigotry is the opposite of that, where because you have the knowledge of this kind of group level statistic, whatever it happens to be, you then approach each individual case as if they are representative of an overall group, okay? And that's probably the best case scenario. There are worse forms of low IQ bigotry, but that's probably the best case scenario that I'm talking about. But you encounter it over and over again. And I would say that this lazy tendency on the right, and the increasingly slop right, as I call them, has led to a degeneration of critical ability on the online right in general. And it's also allowed, whether through deliberate subversion or just through degeneration of standards, a whole mythology of absolute crap to spring up, okay, where this kind of, rather than hard data or rather than hard stats, instead you get the kind of, you attack individuals according to group level characteristics, okay. That doesn't matter if that individual, what they've said or what they've done or whether the stereotype applies to them, they still do it. But also, even beyond that, there's this whole mythology, which seems to me entirely made up, kind of a vibes-based thing, all right, with all sorts of nonsense concepts that have crept in over time. And the problem is, when this non-evidence-based, vibes-based, feelings-based nonsense creeps in, bad actors or people with lots of money or foreign actors can swoop in like a knife through butter and manipulate people rather easily. Because when you're thinking with emotions and feelings and just getting kind of carried along like a fish in a, you know, in the stream, or whatever. You're just getting carried along like a dead fish, I should say. Okay, if you're just getting carried along like that, then you can find yourself giving energy and thinking along certain lines that aren't actually in your interests, but are actually just using your indulgence in this low IQ bigotry to somebody else's advantage. There have been lots of examples of this during the whole business with Israel and Gaza. There was a strong attempt by the Hasbara crowd to try to codify being against Israel as quote-unquote brown, as being quote-unquote third worldist. And many people wrote excellent rebuttals to that attempt. Lots of people saw through it, but other people did not. And this particularly wound me up because I've never had strong feelings on that conflict. But like many people, I was kind of disgusted by some of the conduct of Israel throughout that. And also, as it's become more and more apparent, the iron grip that this little country has over the American government, over figures like Trump, over seemingly the entire right ecosphere of Britain, since that's become like abundantly clear to a point where it's just beyond evidence, more and more I'm thinking, like, well, why is this the case, and why should I, you know, do their bidding? Okay, which is one of many reasons why I'm insisting that I'm on the center left, because if the right is defined by that, then I'm not going to sit with them. Okay, but because of the small fact that I am half Iranian, I got a lot of people saying things like, oh, well, this is just in your blood. This is just like your blood coming out. And I'm like, well, this is just silly. It's a silly thing. For one, most Iranians in the West who are politically engaged, whether it's Meir Tuzi, who's 100% Iranian, by the way, or Patrick Bet-David, or, I mean, there are absolutely dozens upon dozens of them, are hardcore counter-jihad, pro-Israeli Zionist activists, okay? So if it was truly in the blood, then what happened to them, okay? It's another thing is that in Iran itself, pro-Israeli sentiment was building. Even new members of my family who were becoming pretty pro-Israeli because the propaganda was working, because they don't like their government over there, which is the same reason why Iranian diaspora here, you know, tactically become pro-Zionist, because they want the regime in Iran to fall. Okay, I don't like the regime in Iran either. So the idea that it's of the blood is nonsense. But even more, the vast majority of people who have been banging on about Israel, and I have not actually banged on about Israel that much. If you have a look through my videos and so on, I don't even talk about it that much, okay? Vast majority of people who talked about it were white, as far as I'm concerned, as far as I can see, 100% white, most of them. Many of them avowed nationalists and things like that. So the logic starts to like kind of break down when you start looking at that, and it kind of pisses me off because it's based on just bad faith, low IQ bigotry, just based on nothing, just a made-up concept. Another one that I saw is this whole idea that conspiracy theories are quote-unquote gin-brained, right? This attempt to bring in this phrase, gin-brained. But then I was looking more like, okay, so James Dellingpole, David Icke, Alex Jones, you know, Candice Owens, you know, all these people who engage in conspiracy aren't from that background. You understand what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is these concepts or these attempts to get in kind of random stereotypes, which may or may not even be true, pollute the discourse because they're just dishonest. They're just not based on anything. It's not like citing crime data, or it's not like, they're just bad faith. It's just a lie. And there's been more and more and more of this sort of thing as the slop space has been polluted by AI, by Indian call center types, by, you know, Hasbara agents. Probably there's a Russian operation, so I'm told. All of this stuff pollutes the discourse because it makes it low IQ. It literally makes it low IQ. I mean, there have been others in America. There's this kind of, this idea that Indians don't wash and they're smelly and poo in the street and so on. And that all black people are sub 85 IQs and all of this sort of thing, which, you know, you may laugh at for meme value. But when you're attacking people like Vivek Ramaswamy or, you know, like whoever it happens to be, or, you know, in the case, like I mentioned, Thomas Sowell or whatever, when you then can't differentiate, or when you're just like going in for those sorts of insults, it just denigrates any sort of point you're going to make, and all they will see, all the kind of elite discourse, all of those people will see is like, oh right, all we're dealing with is a bunch of grugs here. The mob is just feckless and stupid. They don't really have any demand. So, okay, well, we can just lean with that. We can trick them that way. And as far as I can see, that has actually worked to a very great degree in some parts of the discourse. I'm not saying all. And also, I should say, during the Israel-Palestine crisis, and this was pointed out more, I should say, because Hasbro Network is very active on Twitter and so on. This was pointed out more, but still it was resisted generally. This notion that every single Jewish person, regardless of what they've said, what they've done, what their writings are, you know, an anti-white subverter or something like this. Okay, and this was called low IQ anti-Semitism. Okay, now there's a truth to the fact that if you engage in that sort of thing, if somebody's trying to be reasonable, if somebody's making valid points, let's think Dave Smith as an example, and you're just coming in saying, yeah, but the thing is, trouble is, you're one of them, so therefore, blah blah blah. You know, if you have people who have no history of any of this sort of stuff and still you're throwing it at them, it actually gives succor to the notion that, well, there's nothing there. All these people are stupid grugs all the time. So it really undermines any sort of point anybody's trying to make. I have always said that gruggery of this sort is a massive detriment to the right in general. In all cases, people claim, the low IQ bigot claims that every other group is deep down driven by resentment or whatever. But these, you see, the trouble with claiming that other people are always driven by resentment is that you're actually engaging in a liberal trope, which is psychologizing. You're moving from any argument that is made, you're already now finding a hidden psychology there, that psychology being resentment, which is actually very Freudian. It's a very Freudian tactic and actually very leftist thing to do. And at a certain level, it stops having explanatory power, especially when it is not the case. And I've seen enough bad faith examples of this. And this is where the right is at their weakest. The right is at their strongest when it fearlessly tells the truth, when it exposes things that the liberal establishment is trying to cover up. But when it's forced to engage in lies, smears, this kind of low IQ insult game, it just denigrates everything. Everybody's worse off for it, really. Because then, you know, you're not really that much better than the leftist who's calling you a Nazi or whatever. It's just exactly the same thing, only in reverse. A lot of this stuff, the trouble with a lot of this stuff is that it's absolute bunk. It's not even based on any science or anything like that. I have done stuff questioning IQ stats before. I have an essay there where I point out Jewish IQ data is based on extremely small sample sizes from the 1970s, for example, and that, you know, the attempts to reproduce this sort of stuff, when you actually drill down into it, again, you're not dealing with representative samples, they're non-random, things like that. And so I'm not saying all IQ stuff is bad and wrong. I'm just saying that there are question marks over some of that data. And because there are question marks over that data, there are also questions on how much you can extrapolate from it, what sort of generalizations you can make from it. Okay, so I do think that, and a lot of it has degenerated from that more kind of scientific stuff more to this sort of thing I've been talking about here. So all of that is bad, I would say. The worst part of it is that it leads to a low information environment. A low information environment filled with fake news, fake stories, abject nonsense of all sorts. And I have to say that of all the spaces that I kind of see on Twitter, the worst for it is the counter-jihad space in here in the UK and in America, where they routinely share stuff that is just not true. Routinely share stuff, either it's been doctored or it's old footage, or, I mean, there was a recent case where there was this Giorgio Moloney quote going around, you know, denigrating Tony Blair and things like that. And I was like, that is obviously fake. Moloney would never dare have a go at Blair. Just today, that was community noted on Twitter, but it took 2 days for the community note to go up. So it's already gone around the network. The guys in that network, you know, whether it's Jeff Taylor or Voice of Wales or something, they've already made the video repeating that information. So the information space now is already made weaker because the facts that people think they've got aren't actually true. They've been fabricated. They're being tricked. This is actually a problem. It is actually a problem when you don't have the truth on your side, or you're going into battle with something that is easily shown to be false. And it is facilitated by a low IQ, low information environment like this, where slop can kind of enjoy itself, where it can fester. This is probably why the Israelis and the Hasbro lot back this strategy, because they can lure rubes with red meat, with allowable bigotry. It's low IQ in every sense, really. And politically, it gets nowhere in the real world. Politically, it really does get nowhere in the real world. The counter-jihad has been running for 20 straight years in this country, and it's never got anywhere. Other than getting Tommy Robinson absolutely demonized in the media, it's never really got anywhere as a strategy. So it doesn't even have the track record of winning. You know, maybe getting somewhere a little bit more now. But even Nigel Farage and Reform, to be fair to them, won't engage in this sort of thing. They keep it over there because they know that if they touch that, they get their hands dirty with the stink of it. So there's a reason not to. There's a good reason not to do this stuff, because it leads to that. And the real net effect of it all is that it tricks people into giving their energy to people who are charlatans. I mean, it does basically gin up a lot of energy. You gin up a lot of this anger and resentment. They've got nowhere to go because nobody's going to vote for Ben Habib. So then basically all the energy that's been ginned up, the only place it's got to go is right into Reform, right into somebody like Farage, who you literally know, he has told you to his face that his job is to contain all of that on behalf of the regime. He's told you that to your face. And we know he's a charlatan. But still, doesn't stop it happening. And then, of course, when the other side, when the left, when the powers that be want to say, oh, look, we've got a problem here, guys. It's really, really easy then for some like busybody MP or BBC journalist or whatever to say, well, look at the filth that is here. It's all just, and it's just people like just engaging in this sort of behavior. It's just really simple to sell to anyone. It'll be like, well, they're not actually making any serious points. They're just being racist online. So then it makes it even easier to justify whatever crackdowns that the system wants to do either, you know. And they produce stats on this sort of hate speech is up 58% online, according to one piece of research here. And what is that? They're literally just counting all of the slurs that people are using online and saying, yep, there it is, 58%. Low IQ bigotry overlooks how elites use propaganda to mobilize low intelligence masses, turning potential liabilities into loyal enforcers for whatever it is they want to do. And I think we've actually seen some degree of this with Trump, who, you know, has kind of given rise to some sort of thing. But what was the net upshot? Record US military recruitment, which is ultimately what it was all about in the first place. I think they broke every record in the first 9 months of Trump. And I said, and I remember I said that this would ultimately be the net effect of Trump, to give a massive shot in the arm to military recruitment. And I suppose Nigel will do the same for the British military. I've got quite a lot of other studies and things here, showing what this sort of stuff does to the discourse. But you get the basic message, right? It's not even about it's not necessarily about optics. It's about what is the net effect when you're just engaging in gruggery. Basically, you're just engaging in the animal part of your brain. It means you're not thinking. It means you're not being strategic. It means you're not actually achieving anything. You're just indulging something, right, for an impulse right now. But the people who want to use this energy, the people who actually wish to foster these things, to get you to do things that they want to do, which is the definition of politics, according to Juvenal, a man moves a man to do something else, okay? They are thinking strategically. And they will be the ones who politically benefit from it. So, this will end my series on Nima Parvini against right-wing ideas. I do not see the utility in low IQ bigotry and gruggery and so on. Never have done. Never will do. Never engaged in it myself. Never will. And maybe this is why the centre-left is a better place for me to reside going forward. All right, pick up a course from the academic agency. Buy it now. And, if you want to engage in low IQ bigotry, I suggest you go and do it somewhere else. It's not welcome here. I'm kind of for peace and love, me. And I'll see you all again soon. All right, bye everyone. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.